Hidden Worlds, Looking Through a Scientist's Microscope by Stephen Kramer. Photographs by Dennis Kunkel. Becoming a Scientist. Dennis Kunkel grew up in the Iowa countryside, where cornfields stretched for miles in all directions. Dennis helped tend the flowers and vegetables in the family garden. He went on weekend fishing trips with his parents and his sisters, and he took care of the family pets. Dennis loved nature and being outdoors, but he did not know that someday he would become a scientist. Then Dennis received a gift that changed his life. "When I was 10 years old, my parents gave me a microscope for Christmas," he recalls. "It came with a set of prepared slides, things like insect legs, root hairs, and tiny creatures called protozoans. As soon as I unwrapped the microscope, I forgot about my other presents and tried to figure out how to use it." Caption: Dennis working at one of his microscopes. Caption: When Dennis looked at pond water with his first microscope, he saw these kinds of simple plants. They are green algae. Above, Volvox. Right, Microsterius. The prepared specimens that came with the microscope were dead. Dennis quickly discovered that it was more fun to observe things that were alive and moving, so he began to take collecting trips. One of Dennis's first trips was to a pond about a mile and a half from his house. "I started hiking down there with my little collecting bottles and bringing back water samples to look at under my microscope," he explains. "I couldn't wait to get home from school in the afternoon so I could go to the pond. Before long, I was looking at all kinds of fascinating creatures." Dennis used his microscope to look at anything he could fit under its lenses. He examined insects, soil samples, and parts of plants. He looked at fur from his pets and seeds from nearby fields. Dennis made drawings of the things he observed, and he spent many hours reading about them. After Dennis graduated from high school, he enrolled in a junior college in his hometown. A biology teacher there encouraged his love of science and microscopes. Dennis often worked in the science lab after school, using microscopes to study the things he collected. Then Dennis transferred to the University of Washington in Seattle. Finally, he could learn and do the things he had dreamed about. "I had the chance to work in labs with good microscopes," explains Dennis. "I spent hours speaking with professors and students about science. I had dreamed of exploring and learning about undersea life like Jacques Cousteau, but until I left Iowa, I had never even seen the ocean. While I attended the University of Washington, I learned how to scuba dive. It was thrilling to go underwater to observe and collect the plants and animals I wanted to study." Caption: Dennis examines leaves with two young scientists. Caption: Some people are allergic to pollen. Here are several types of pollen that cause watery eyes, runny noses, and sneezing. Poplar, orange. Alder, dark green. Timothy grass, light green. Ragweed, spiked yellow. Sagebrush, oval yellow. And scotch broom, plum. In graduate school, Dennis began to use the science department's electron microscopes for his own research, studying tiny living things called cyanobacteria. But Dennis also used the microscopes to help other scientists. He helped one of his professors study and classify pollen grains from different kinds of flowers. He helped a fellow graduate student examine wood with an electron microscope to learn about how plant cells deposit minerals and create hard wood. He helped other students with their studies of algae, fungi, and flowering plants. After 8 years of graduate work, including thousands of hours of research and work with microscopes, Dennis earned a PhD in botany, the study of plants. Although Dennis was finishing his schooling, he was just beginning a lifetime of scientific learning and discovery. Dennis worked on research projects at the University of Washington and the University of Hawaii for about 25 years. Now he does much of his work in his home on the island of Oahu, Hawaii. Working as a scientist. Scientists are explorers. They usually make discoveries by asking questions and then trying to answer them. Some scientists find their answers in laboratories, surrounded by equipment and instruments. Others travel to natural areas to find their answers. Dennis's work has taken him to mountains, rainforests, deserts, caves, beaches, and into the sea. Whenever Dennis goes on field trips, he takes along collecting boxes and bottles. When he returns to the lab, the boxes and bottles are usually full of interesting specimens: algae, lichens, mushrooms, seeds, leaves, insects, bark, soil, and flowers. Dennis has explored hidden worlds in places ranging from the blast zone of a volcano to the dust balls underneath people's beds. Caption: the aquatic nymph stage of the mayfly. Adult mayflies are slender flying insects found around streams and ponds. Caption: a butterfly's proboscis, the coiled mouthpart it uses to sip nectar. Caption: Dennis and the scientific team collect water samples. Mount St. Helens. In 1980, a dormant volcano called Mount St. Helens erupted in Washington state. The blast from the eruption flattened huge forests of tall trees. Floods of boiling mud and water from melting snow scoured riverbeds. The countryside was covered with a thick layer of ash for miles around. Some of the first people allowed to visit the blast zone were biologists, scientists who study living things. They were stunned by the destruction. One of the first things they wanted to know was whether any living things had survived. A team of scientists from the University of Washington made plans to study the lakes and streams of the blast area. Since Dennis was an expert on algae, the simple plants found in lakes and streams, he was invited to help with the study. The scientists traveled to a camp set up on the north side of Mount St. Helens. Twice a day, a helicopter flew them into the blast zone. All they could see, for miles in every direction, were dead trees blanketed by a heavy layer of ash. Caption: Hydra, a microscopic creature related to jellyfish, is one kind of life that Dennis found in the lakes and streams of the blast zone. The scientists were thrilled because they had never explored the area around an active volcano so soon after this type of eruption. But no one knew when the mountain might erupt again. In fact, no one even knew for sure whether it was safe to land a helicopter in the blast zone. Some pilots thought the ash stirred up by the whirling helicopter blades might choke the engines. So Dennis and the other scientists weren't allowed to land in the study area on the first few trips. They had to collect their water samples while the helicopter was in the air. As Dennis and the team crisscrossed the blast zone in the helicopter, they kept their eyes open for water. When they spotted a lake or pond that had survived the blast, the pilot flew the helicopter into position. As the helicopter hovered over the murky gray water, Dennis lowered collecting bottles on ropes. The bottles had triggers so Dennis could open them at different depths. This allowed him to collect some water samples from near the surface and others from deep in the lakes. The first water samples the scientists collected showed that some of the lakes were completely dead. Nothing had survived the heat, gases, and choking ash of the eruption. Just a few weeks later, Dennis used microscopes to look at new water samples he had collected from the same lakes. He was amazed to see algae, protozoans, and bacteria living in the water. Within several months, small crustaceans, animals that feed on algae and bacteria, began to reappear in some of the lakes. Dennis and the other scientists kept careful records of the kinds of living things that returned to the lakes and when they reappeared. They identified the kinds of algae, protozoans, bacteria, and crustaceans they found. Later, Dennis and the team also discovered that frogs and fish were returning to some of these lakes, apparently carried in by surrounding streams. Their studies helped other scientists understand what happens to life in lakes when a nearby volcano erupts, and how living things eventually return to areas where all life was destroyed. Caption: Vorticella, a single-celled protozoan. How to become a scientist. Here is Dennis's advice for students who think they might like to become scientists. Become an observer. One of the most important things you can do to become a good scientist and microscopist is practice being a careful observer. Find a comfortable chair and put it in the middle of your garden, yard, or a park. Sit in the chair for 10 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour. Watch the insects that fly past or land on the plants. Look at the shapes of leaves and stems and branches. Listen to the sounds of buzzing bees and chirping crickets. See if you can find a sight or smell or sound that surprises you. Use a loop or magnifying glass to look closely at interesting objects. Caption: Dennis and graduate student examine a South African clawed frog. Caption: Dennis looking closely at a fern leaf. Learn everything you can about a topic that interests you. Suppose you'd like to explore flowers by using a microscope. Go to the library and check out some flower books. See what you can find on the internet. Pick some flowers and carefully take them apart. Use a loupe or a magnifying glass to see how everything fits together. The more you know about flowers from reading about them and observing them, the more you'll understand when you begin looking at them with a loupe or a microscope. Ask for help from a knowledgeable person. After you've learned everything you can on your own, ask someone else to help with questions you still have. Maybe there's someone at a nearby school or museum who knows about insects, spiders, algae, moss, or something else you'd like to learn about. If you don't have a microscope of your own, maybe a teacher would help you look at some specimens with a school microscope. Find a scientist to talk to or find a place where scientific research is being done. If you still want to learn more, you may be able to find a scientist to talk to at a nearby college, university, or research station. Write a letter or an email message to the scientist explaining what you are interested in. Ask if you can schedule a time to visit. Most scientists are happy to talk to students who share their passion for science.